Welcome to SEO Link Building with Julian Goldie, a podcast about getting your website to rank higher on Google so you can get more traffic, leads, and sales, all from SEO Link Building. Now, here's your host, Julian Goldie.
Hey guys, Julian Goldie here, and today we've got another interview with Andy from PostStarGo. How's it going, Andy?
Doing good, Julian. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So today we're going to be talking about link building outreach, how to get more backlinks, how to improve your results with outreach, and also, you know, what sort of content should you use too. So do you want to just sort of introduce yourself, Andy?
Sure. So I guess a bit about my background. My name is Andy Cabasso. Many years ago, my interest in digital marketing, I started a digital agency specifically focusing on the legal market. So our clients were mainly law firms. We did web design and paid search, SEO, grew that agency, and then sold it to another company in the legal tech space. And then after that, kind of one idea that my co-founder of the agency and I had was we were trying to do link building for ourselves and for our clients to help them get more traffic, but we couldn't find a very scalable solution for it. So we built that solution. We built PostStarGo, which is an all-in-one outreach platform that helps with everything from prospecting to find relevant outreach opportunities to finding and validating email addresses for potential contacts and people you want to reach out to, and then building and sending custom tailored email sequences to them. And so that's where we're at today.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool tool. I've tried it out for a few different outreach campaigns, and I remember doing a YouTube video, well, a couple of YouTube videos about it last year. So, I mean, one thing that I found with outreach tools and software is like, there's so many different setups. Like, you can go from Ahrefs to Hunter to Lemlist to, you know, and you've got all these sort of separated tools that you want to merge together. Otherwise, you're going to be spending a lot of time, especially if you don't do that much outreach, then everything's fragmented and it can get a bit messy. So that's what I liked about PostStarGo. It sort of fitted it all into one thing.
Yeah, thanks. And that's part of like what we were looking at when we were talking, like initially interviewing agencies. We're like, well, what's your process? And they're like, well, I'm either using a scraper in one aspect, or I'm using Ahrefs, and then I export those to CSVs, and then I import those into an email finder. And then if my email finder doesn't have a built-in validator, then I need to take those emails and put them into like Neverbounce or whatever. And then after that, I import them into my email platform, and then I send those out, and then I have to have a CRM after that as well. And so it's anywhere from like 3 to 5 or 6 different pieces of software sometimes. And so we just kind of thought we could simplify that.
Yeah, definitely. When you got all those subscriptions going on, it gets a bit messy. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, your tool is for outreach. Do you do a lot of outreach yourself as well?
Every day. So I'm doing outreach for like a wide variety of things, really trying to put it to its limits. So I'm doing outreach for link building for my articles. I'm also doing like PR oriented outreach to get the word out about PostStarGo. Mm-hmm. So like one thing that I do that I recommend to people who have like SaaS businesses is, you can find where your competitors or other products in your industry are getting write-ups on other blogs or mentioned in podcasts, and reach out to them to see if they'll, since their audience is interested in that, covering your product. It's also a good way to find potential affiliates for your product as well. I'm also, you know, using our platform for podcast tours. And so that's been kind of one of my favorite secret weapons. I've been on like, say 36 podcasts in the last year or so, and I don't have a podcast myself, which some people are like, well, you have a pod, like, so like one thing I see is like a lot of podcasters do the podcast swaps with each other. But like one thing I like about podcasts is it gets you in front of a new audience. This is maybe a bit meta since I'm here on a podcast talking about this, but it gets you in front of a new audience that is relevant to what you have to say and relevant to your business. But also, whenever you're usually featured on a podcast, they'll mention you and your site in the show notes usually with a backlink. And so that's a win with a backlink there. And if the show is like syndicated on other platforms with the notes on those platforms as well, then you're mentioned in a bunch of places.
That's true. So it's kind of like, it's almost like you're doing the skyscraper technique, but for podcasting and for PR and everything else too, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're following the same sort of theory of reverse engineering your competitors, mm-hmm. seeing where they're getting mentioned, and then knowing if you reach out to them as well, chances are they're going to want to feature you on the podcast or YouTube channel or whatever yep. else.
Exactly. And I wouldn't say like I would just do it for competitors. I would also do it for other products that are not direct competitors, but in your space. And so, and that can be like a good angle as well. Cause like sometimes as you probably know, if you're doing skyscraper outreach purely from that traditional approach of, hey, I saw that you have this article and you linked to this other article. My article is better. Drop that link and link to me instead.
Yeah.
Like they'll kind of say like, nah. I don't know. Like you want me to change this link and maybe your article is better. Is it really worth my time to do all of this? If it's something like that kind of demand of drop this and go to me instead or something like that, that can be like, especially now that a lot of people are doing skyscraper with that kind of approach. Basically, I like this idea of looking at not just direct competitors, but other complementary products in a particular industry or space. And I found good success with that.
Yeah, it's good because then you get more prospects to go at as well, right? So rather than mm-hmm. just fishing from a very limited pool of your competitors, if you branch out a bit and you look at, all right, what are some horizontal similar platforms, what are some SaaS companies that are doing similar things, and how can I scrape their prospects too, then all of a sudden you might be 10x in the number of prospects you got to go at, which is increasing the number of opportunities too.
Exactly. And especially if your like direct competitor list is narrow, like there are only so many opportunities or so many things that your like direct competitors are doing, but if you kind of have an idea of what your customer profile is interested in, and you're like, okay, so like, let's say I make SEO software or something very specific. Yeah. I may not just be interested in direct competitors that make this kind of SEO software, but something related to digital marketing software. And so maybe I'll look a bit broader. And so not just at something like in terms of like SEO software, like look at something like Ahrefs, but something else in the digital marketing space, tools that digital marketers use like Canva or something like that, for example. So yeah, taking a wider approach will give you a ton more opportunities.
Yeah, we do something similar. Sometimes for our clients, if we've exhausted the number of prospects they can go at, we try and like cross niche. So we'll try and merge their industry with something else. Like for example, we were doing link building for a dating website. Mm-hmm. Every single competitor had like paid for a link, or the competition was crazy hard to get backlinks. So then we created an article about anxiety in dating, reached out to all those other websites that talk about anxiety, and all of a sudden it's much easier to build links.
Ah, clever. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wes. Yeah. I think it works really well. Definitely. And then how do you find if you're promoting your articles or if you're creating content specifically for outreach, how do you find your content ideas?
Typically when I'm thinking about content, and especially content that I want to do outreach for, I want to build something that I would want to link to if I was another website that would be relevant. And so like this idea of like a linkable asset or something like that. And so, in general, like what I want to do is I want to create something new and something original. Often I might create like a YouTube video to accompany it if it's like a particular strategy. But in terms of like ideas where I go to, I particularly like, I love Ahrefs, and that's been like a good source for me for coming up with ideas, seeing, all right, well, how competitive is this particular topic? And getting kind of ideas from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ahrefs is a good tool for that. Have you ever tried like the others, like SEMrush or Moz? Have you tried those for prospecting too? Or
I have, but I'm pretty set in with Ahrefs. I just personally prefer that a lot more.
Once you're locked in as well and you build all your systems around that, it's very difficult to switch, isn't it? So like when you're actually doing the outreach, I know one of the biggest complaints I hear from other SEOs I know, or just people trying to build links to their site, is that everyone they reach out to is asking for money for mentions. You know, they're asking for paid links. Obviously, it's a commercial opportunity and websites know they can sell back links. Do you have any strategies for overcoming that, or what sort of percentage do you find actually convert from the outreach?
So, yeah, so there, I guess there are a few questions to tackle there. So I would say that, I mean, definitely more often than not, like in terms of like what the replies that I get are, the positive replies, in terms of the ones that skew forward towards, oh, that sounds great, I added a link for you, compared to, yeah, I'll link to you, but give me somewhere between, I don't know, on the average between like $40 to $200 or something like that. I'd say like these days, and like it varies by industry, but more of them, I would say, are like pay to play opportunities and things like that. And I just got one reply yesterday that wanted, I was looking for to build links in like a listicle article, and I figured like this is a good opportunity. And they're like, it'll be an $800 per year subscription for your link.
It's outrageous the prices that come out with. I think like a lot of websites they genuinely don't know the value of a link, right? So sometimes they just put the finger in the air, they see which way the wind blows, and they come up with a number there. I mean, I know that one SEO, he combats that. He was talking to me the other day. He said what he does is he finds out how much traffic is going to that page, figures out how much you pay cost per click on that page, and then sort of come up with a figure and show them the stats based on that. So you come back to them with data and you say, listen, the maximum this link is worth is X amount. But yeah, I think there are ways of negotiating free links as well.
For sure. I think, yeah, like so that a few strategies that like I might try to employ based on what I'm reaching out about and what the opportunity is, might try to parlay into like, hey, we have an affiliate program. And so I'm happy to sign you up. And this has like this percent commission. So you'd be getting money from this, to something like offering like something, you know, relatively free for you, being like, I'm happy to mention you in our newsletter or promote it in socials or something like that. Something to provide value. And sometimes if like the site is asking for money, or in particular if it's like a lot of money, I'll take a look at the site just in Ahrefs. I'll throw it in and see what their backlink profile is like, because I might be a little bit worried that if they are like, if this is their go-to and like this is what they're doing a lot of, there might just be so many outbound links that it might worry me about the site itself, and I might be rethinking getting that link.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you've got to be careful. First of all, if a website's selling backlinks to you, they could be selling it to casinos, Viagra websites, like all sorts of dodgy sites, right? And then also the other thing is, like you say, you've got to be careful with the ratio of internal versus external links. On Ahrefs, for example, you can't find that number directly, right? You'd have to like sort of export the data and then figure it out yourself, I think, in terms of ratios.
I guess in terms of ratios, yeah. But typically what I'll try and do is just like a cursory look like at the site in Ahrefs and see like if they have like, if it looks like it's not a large site and they have tens of thousands of outbound links, I might be concerned.
Yeah. And the other thing is, well, you got to be careful as well, because when these websites are selling backlinks, sometimes they're purely designed for that. And all it is a way to sell backlinks and try and manipulate Google's algorithm. Whereas ideally you want backlinks from websites with real audiences, real traffic and actual content people read, right? And it's a case of filtering that out. Do you have any sort of like checklist for that? Or
So one thing I try to do is like it's not just like, I know a lot of people like look at the metric of like, I care specifically about DR or DA, and I want a site that has a like minimum this domain authority or domain rating. But you might see like, all right, they have a good domain rating or authority, but no traffic. And that's like, all right, so either they're like they're somehow getting their domain rating artificially inflated, but might be cause for concern. And just getting a link just from a higher authority site just for the sake of it, but it doesn't, the site itself doesn't have much traffic, may not be that valuable in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, even I was listening to the Authority Hacker podcast the other day, and there's even ways you can manipulate your traffic rankings now too, right? So you could rank for the most random keyword, you know, like they were saying, it could be like 0x0x0x, which is like a Microsoft error. Gets like a million people. It's super easy to rank for, but it gets like millions of searches, right? So then a website can manipulate the organic traffic listings, make it look like they're getting millions of traffic, but actually they're ranking for like totally weird sort of keywords you would never want to rank for and aren't really relevant to anyone.
Interesting.
So yeah. I think you have to like kind of, for us, what we do is we look at checkpoints in combination, right? So yes, we want high DR, yes, we want organic traffic, but then also there's all these other things you can check, and you have to kind of think, right, there's no such thing as a perfect link. There's no such thing as everything being perfect down the list, but at the same time, you just got to use a bit of common sense, and some things you can't measure, right? Like when you look on a website, you can see by the look and feel of that site, is it like, if I looked at your site, you know, it's real content, it's nicely designed, it's something people would actually read. It's like, you know, whereas you find all these PBNs and generic WordPress templates that you have to be careful with.
And then if you're like, if you just take a quick, like cursory look at an article, like, you know, you, after seeing so many articles, you can tell when an article looks like it was just like spun up or like is trying to hit the right keyword density ratios and all of that. And like, it looks like they either used some like AI copywriting thing to just spit out pages, or they're paying someone very, very little and the content just doesn't have anything to say, but they're just doing it for some sort of like manipulation, basically.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I mean, just out of curiosity for your site, you said you're creating content, you're doing outreach. You're in quite a competitive niche, I would say, right? When you're writing content about outreach or email deliverability, these are super competitive topics.
Yeah, it's funny in hindsight, like, all right, so I'm getting into the space of email, email outreach, and all of my content is going to be about related to some sort of link building or SEO. So the other companies in this space and other people writing about this also are not only writing about it, but they're also doing link building. And these are the people who know link building better than anyone. And so, it definitely is super competitive.
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, do you have any tips for trying to rank in a competitive industry, competitive niche?
So probably if we're just starting out, I would look for the low hanging fruit, the low keyword difficulty opportunities, things that you would be able to more easily rank for that your competitors have missed out on. Do a lot of those, and you know, it may not drive a ton of traffic, but it will help with your domain, like just over time, it'll help with increasing your domain ranking and authority. And it could be good for some good link building opportunities as well. And then just build up basically. And then look for gaps that your competitors have missed. And then like, as you can, if there is like a money thing, money topic that you want to go after, just, you really have to put in a lot of effort into making sure that like, objectively speaking, like this content that you've created is better than what else is out there, and possibly like taking a different angle. I know it can be the case that you're thinking like, all right, so I want to make a better article than this article, which is like, let's say this article is, that's ranking is 10 things you need to know about local SEO or something like that. And so I'll make an article that's 12 things to know about local SEO. And so therefore it will be better, but just like that in and of itself may not really move the needle.
And so, yeah.
So I would think of having other collateral or assets to provide other types of content, whether it's like video or lead magnets and downloadables, something to make your content more unique and stand out.
Yeah, I think as well, a lot of people do feel, you know, smaller websites especially, they feel kind of intimidated by competing with these giant domains. But I think one of the things is that if you go after those low-hanging fruits, if you go after the lower competition keywords that maybe get quite a lot less volume, it's worth it for you. But also, a lot of these bigger companies, it doesn't make sense for them to go after those keywords, so they just leave them. And that's an opportunity for you as a smaller site, I would say, for most sort of smaller business owners. Definitely, yeah. Sure. And you used to have an SEO agency too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you sell that company?
I sold the agency in 2016, and I stayed on for a little while after that before starting to build Postaga.
Just out of curiosity, like, how did you find, because obviously as a link building agency myself, like, how do you find running a SaaS software versus running an agency? Like, how does it compare?
I guess I could speak to this from, I guess, not just running a SaaS and formally running an agency, but knowing a few people who have done similar things, I will say that there is this idea that you have that, like, running an agency, you're like you're being very service oriented. You to be able to deliver more and deliver more for your clients, you need more team members, and you have, like, that is your cost. And so to grow your agency and taking on more clients, you need more people. And there's a conception that, well, with a SaaS business, if I've got this amazing software, people will just sign up for it, and I can have one person on my team doing support, and it'll be this huge high margin thing.
But living the dream.
that's the dream idea, but in reality, it doesn't. It's not the case for, I'd say, 99% of people I know that are in the SaaS space. Just because, as you grow, you need more customer support people, you need more marketing people, and so while you may not need like as many people for service delivery like you would in an agency, customer support is a very real thing, especially like if your product is more high ticket, you need customer support people to help onboard your new customers and engage with them. And so, it's not necessarily like super high margin as the dream, I guess, as some people might think.
And did you have a sort of background in software development or anything like that? Or
I am non-technical. So the most advanced technical thing I have done ever, early on when we went into lockdown in March of 2020, when we were unable to go to the grocery store, and the grocery getting delivery, they were all like, all the time slots were unavailable. So I taught myself a bit of JavaScript and AppleScript to basically refresh the checkout page to look for an available time. And when it would find an available time, it would make a big notification and ping me. That is the only thing I have ever coded in my entire life. So my co-founder is technical. My co-founder is a developer since we were working together in our agency, he built internal tools that we were using for building our client sites and things like that. And we've been working together ever since then.
It's quite an interesting combination, I would say. Like, I don't know if you've ever come across, like, I don't know, Traction, or, you know, books like Traction or Rocket Fuel as well, where they talk about having the ideal combination is someone who can implement and someone who's visionary too. Like that sort of combination helps a lot to to grow a business.
Yeah, and I love, yeah, Traction is definitely one of my like must like my most recommended reads to people if they're like looking to like really grow a business for sure.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, I remember just recently we interviewed Julian, who's not me, but another Julian who does recruitment, and he really recommends EOS and sort of having KPIs, having scorecards. It's just a good way to sort of glue everything together, especially as you scale, right?
No, for sure. And just to like, not just that, but like just to know where you are, know how every aspect of the business is performing. Like when I first started my agency, I definitely didn't, in hindsight, I didn't really, like my thoughts on how the business was going was just all gut based, but like having KPIs, having metrics, having goals was really helpful to be able to measure against and see, well, what do we need to get to this next level and so on. And also being able to like track our performance and have something to measure against to see how we're doing versus how we were doing and be able to find ways to improve.
Definitely. I think as well, just having accountability, you know, putting a number, and everyone's got a number that they work towards and they know, right? I'm responsible for this, they're responsible for this. And also you can see how everything links together. It's kind of like a domino effect. Absolutely. So yeah, and just one more thing before we go. So I noticed you were featured by Ahrefs, reposted your affiliate outreach article, right? Your tutorial on that. So you've been getting a lot of success with reaching out to affiliates. And yeah. So how does that work?
This is something that I haven't been doing that long, but like the results so far have been crazy good. So I wanted to just kind of, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops, like, try this out. This is amazing. Yeah. This is going so well. And then like in the back of my head, I'm like, if this becomes like a Backlinko skyscraper situation, then everyone starts doing it, I'm going to get diminishing returns on it. But I guess I should be so lucky that happens. So this kind of strategy that we've been implementing, the idea was I've got a SaaS business or an e-commerce product, and I want to get more affiliates for it. Not only because it can, you know, drive me traffic, but also because the affiliate links can be good inbound links to your site. In particular, if you are with like an affiliate program that does allow for this. And what I mean is, if you sign up for a certain, there are a lot of affiliate networks and programs out there, and some of them will have like the affiliate link where the link is like your website /?, first promoter dash something something in affiliate ID, but some of them might be have it so like the referral, like the affiliate link, go like where the main domain is not your website, but a domain of like the affiliate program itself that like redirects eventually to your site. So if you are with an affiliate program that where the link is to your site, that would be better for link building purposes. But anyway, so that being said, so we were looking for affiliate opportunities, and kind of what I was thinking was, well, what about like who is an affiliate of competitors in our space and other products in our space? Not necessarily direct competitors, but who are the affiliates of these companies? And the reason I was interested in them in particular was because for most people that are affiliates, they have like an authority site or an affiliate blog where they're making money primarily on commissions from products, where they have like a listicle article or a review article that mentions a specific product and then has affiliate links throughout the article to get you to sign up for the product. And then they get a commission from that. And so I was figuring like, well, these people would love to recommend my product and write about my product they're like, that's their model. They're making money off of these products, but also they're already writing about my industry. They're already writing about other products in my space. And if they've got articles like those listicle articles about here are 20 products that you need to try out, if they just throw in an affiliate link to my product, a little bit of effort, and I might even be able to supply them with some content and some assets and stuff like that to make their life easier. They throw that in, they sign up for the affiliate program, and they can just get paid. And that is an easy win for them. And so they're these people more than those skyscraper sites that you're reaching out to, more than other sites that you're reaching out to, are going to be really incentivized to link to you. And so
it's win-win. Swim-win
yeah, forever. Exactly. Yeah. And so what we were doing, using a tool like you can use Ahrefs, you can use SEMrush or Ubersidus, anything else, looking up a specific company, whether it's a competitor or a complementary product in your industry, looking at their backlink profile, and then through their backlink profile, searching for affiliate link common constructions. And so like, for example, First Promoter is an affiliate program. If you're in the First Promoter affiliate program, chances are your affiliate link setup is your domain / FP_something. So right. If I just type in FP_ and I and through looking through the backlink profile and I get a hit, great. Now I know this particular company is using First Promoter as their affiliate, and I can grab all of the backlinks. Wow. Using the First Promoter construction. Yeah. And so I can get basically all their affiliates, and then I'll reach out to those sites and say, hey, I saw that you're an affiliate of this product. Since your audience is interested in products in this space, I thought you might be interested in being an affiliate for our product as well. Here's what our affiliate commissions are. I also have a media library of assets that press assets that you can use and just drop into your article. Let me know what you think. And it's just worked crazy, crazy well. And there are a lot of opportunities, especially if you have like companies that are like if there are larger companies in your space that have a ton of affiliates, and it's very easy and very repeatable. And yeah, I've been super happy with this so far.
So that's basically you can find a qualified list of people willing to promote your product, and you can automate it with the outreach. Yeah, it's exactly. Pretty smart. Yeah, definitely. It's a great way to grow the business for sure. Cool. Well, I mean, so if people want to sign up for Postaga, how can they do that?
So you can check out our website at postaga.com. That's postaga.com. And just for your audience, if you sign up and you sign up for a paid plan and you check out using the coupon code Goldie50, you'll get 50% off for your first 3 months. So yeah, it's the Goldie50. That'll get you 50% off for the first 3 months of using Postaga.
Awesome. We'll include the link in the comments as well, so people can easily find it. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. All right. Thanks very much for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, Julian. This was fun.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this episode of SEO Link Building with Julian Goldie. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. If you'd like to boost your SEO rankings, drive more traffic, and land more customers with link building, book a call with Julian today at juliangoldie.com.